The podcast in which you're about to listen to is an account of the tragedy which befell a group of podcasters, in particular, Richard and his invalid co-host Vic. It is all the more tragic in that they were a young, terrible show, but had they had a very, very long successful one, they could have not expected, nor would they have wished to hear, as much as the mad and macabre as they were to hear that day. For them, an idyllic October afternoon recording session became a nightmare. The events of that day were to lead into the discovery of one of the most bizarre recordings in the annals of British podcasting. The Radio Nasties Texas Chainsaw Marathon.
Punishment back again, Charlotte.
Hey guys, it's your favorite guest host.
Hey guys,
it's me.
Hey, you guys.
Screw you guys.
You look a bit like a what's his name? Sloth.
Yes, that's right. Today we're doing Ice Age.
Yes,
is that not the name the Sloth is?
Sid.
Name? No, Sloth is the guy from Goonies.
Oh,
that's even worse.
Yeah, yeah, that was my point.
Yeah. I hate you.
Today, the Goonies!
Yeah.
Now, we're not doing the Goonies, we're doing the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Beginning. Awful name for a film.
Yeah, it's just a strange title.
It's just too long.
Yeah.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Beginning.
Cheers.
I mean, Texas Chainsaw Massacre Origins would have been better, and that's awful. At least they never did the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Resurrection.
Oh, fuck off. It's from Matthew McConaughey pops in this film. All right. Oh, one thing I want to mention. He does say all right in The Next Generation.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. When he comes into the dinner scene, he's like, all right. And I'm like, oh my God, he said it then.
Well, there you go. Scrap our review of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation. We didn't do it justice.
Yeah.
Please don't. I mean, if you listen to this, chances are you've already listened to that, so ha.
Yeah.
You've been scammed.
See, that's funny because nobody listens to us, so.
You've got a good point.
Yeah.
I'm not even listening to you right now.
I don't usually turn off your talk.
As the title suggests, this is a prequel to the remake.
Yes, it is, yeah.
And then, of
how long did this come out afterwards?
Is this like 2005?
Yeah.
I'm gonna check.
2005, 2006, maybe?
2006 this came out.
Yeah.
3 years after the
remake,
I guess it warranted enough to get a sequel.
Yeah.
Which most of the slasher remakes didn't.
Yeah.
Bar Halloween. Friday didn't. Nightmare didn't. Right, should we jump into this prequel?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Take us away, Richard. Take us away.
I'll get the gun.
Yeah.
Let's end this together. So, The Beginning starts in 1939.
Yes.
Still in August, though.
Yes.
Franchise seems to have a
thing about August.
Fascination with August.
Yeah.
It's just like the original did it, so August. Nothing bad happens outside of August in this world.
Or in Texas.
So we get a few shots of the slaughterhouse, which, unlike any of the other films, is still in business.
Yes.
Business seems to be booming in 1939.
Because we see the pigs getting led in, don't we? It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
And the only thing worse than that is the mess of a woman. He's asking for a toilet break.
Yeah, I mean, oh dear.
Yeah.
What a state.
And this woman's just got, like, the most stereotypical dickhead boss. Like, needing a piss?
Not but it's I'm like, she's got, like, obviously stomach pain, didn't she?
Yeah.
She's obviously like, I need to go to the toilet, but you know, straight away you can see that it's, like, it's probably a bit more serious. She looks like she's in severe pain.
She needed, like, a shit or something.
Boss is just like, now you can hold your shit in.
You can't be shitting when I'm paying you. And her water fucking breaks.
Yeah. And then
which
blood
followed by blood.
Lots of it.
Yeah.
And then she just like falls down, doesn't she? And then convulses and dies, I assume.
Yeah. I get the impression she didn't even know she was pregnant.
Yeah. The boss says something to her like, that's what you get for being lazy on the job or something.
Death?
Like, whispers in her ear. He's like, that's what you get. And it's like,
is this Texas or China?
Yeah. But then the baby comes out. This is a little bit contradictive as well, because he comes out fucked up. And in the remake, they said that his skin disease started when it was a kid. So a bit of a continuity
problem with prequels, isn't it?
Yeah.
Should have got advice from George Lucas. There were no continuity errors in his
prequels. Oh my god. The thing is, though, like, in the next, you know, during the credits, you see Thomas essentially growing up.
Yeah.
So why did he have to come out fucked up? I know it was obviously for shock value, but why did he have to come out fucked up? You could have, like, cut and had in the credits him of getting this skin disease.
Yeah, an excuse to put him in the bin, I guess. The boss would be like, I mean, that's not right, baby. I might keep that.
I mean, the boss seems like the type of guy that would just be like, just throw it in the bin. Like, if it was a normal-looking baby, be like, nah, get rid of this.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, who puts a fucking baby in a bin?
Yeah.
Nobody puts a baby in the bin.
But then we see the grandma, who's young at this point.
Yeah.
Or younger.
Well, that's how things happen in the past.
Yeah. And she finds the dumped baby in the bin.
Yeah.
Because she's looking for food.
Yeah, I thought she was homeless at this point.
Yeah, she finds like a bit of old meat and then starts like, oh, you dirty fucking bitch.
Yeah.
You've went to a slaughterhouse, found rotten meat in a bin, and then you've eaten it.
It's like, I know you.
It's like, oh, you just.
I know it ends up where obviously the slaughterhouse shuts down, doesn't it? So they're like, they're running out of food, but I mean, come on. There must be some sort of...
There's a McDonald's down the road.
Can you imagine?
KFC. No, this is a cleaner meat.
Very true.
And then, yeah, she finds old baby Leatherface.
Yeah.
Wrapped up in... I forget what they call it, but it's that brown paper that you used to get in like, butcher shops. Film.
Jesus.
I mean,
wrap that baby up.
Modern day, it'd be cling film, but back then they were still using paper to wrap up meats. It's great because when he looks at the baby before he puts it in, he's like, "That's the ugliest thing I've ever seen." Like, fuck. It's a fucking baby, mate. Leave it alone.
Well, he says it, and then
this thing's gonna grow up to cut people with a chainsaw. Put it in the fucking bin.
I mean, fair play.
Yeah. He's that's the twist of him. He's clairvoyant.
Yeah. He's got the shiner.
Shitting.
It's funny because when she takes it back to the house and you see like her and the sheriff. Well, he's not the sheriff yet. It's Junior, I guess, at this point. And he says the same thing because he like leans in, looks at the baby, and it's kind of like from the baby's point of view. And he's like, "Well, that's about the damn ugliest baby I ever saw." And then it cuts to the credits. And this is where we see like Thomas slowly growing up because you see him younger. He's wrapped up in bandages. He's age 9. He started killing animals, of course, because they have to. And you also see like the first inkling of him putting skin on his face because he like skins this rabbit or something and then wraps the skin around his face. And it's like, all right.
Casual.
That was during his furry phase.
He also fondles chainsaw because, you know, he had to have
that. Well, who doesn't? That's just the part of growing up.
And then at the end of the credits, you see that the meat plant has been condemned. Not just closed.
Condemned by the Texas Health Board or whatever. Yeah.
And the Texas town, there's a newspaper article about this town and it says it dies. And also that Vietnam's on at this point.
Yeah.
Because we cut to July 1969.
We've left August. Way.
Yeah. So we immediately cut to Thomas, who's a grown boy now. And he, the meat plant's getting shut down.
Yeah, so obviously that's the last day, isn't it? Yeah.
And he's not leaving.
No, he's still just there hacking up his meat.
Yeah. And one of the section leaders comes up and he's like, oh, this fucking Thomas won't leave. Like, he's a twat. The boss is just like, well, go and tell him to bugger off then.
What I don't get with this guy is like, well, this is the last shift. You're not my boss anymore. I'm not going down to that huge man and telling him, you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm done. I'm off. Yeah. See you later, mate.
But he goes down and Thomas is just hacking his meat. And this guy's like, you know, it's the last day. You've got to go out. And then he gets annoyed. And he just shouts, you dumb animal.
Yeah.
And then Thomas doesn't really like that. He turns around with his butcher's knife and he's kind of like clenching it. And then you see him just let it go, don't you? He's just like, nah, I'm off.
Ain't worth it.
So then we cut to one of our main characters. This kind of like is kind of like a shot from Vietnam or something.
Like fucking apocalypse whenever.
Yeah, yeah. And is it Eric? Eric, yeah.
Eric, yeah.
He comes out of the pool like he's in Vietnam, coming out of the water with a knife in his mouth. And he's got like a bandana around his fucking head. We find out him and his girlfriend and his brother and his girlfriend, they're all driving to the base, the military base, to go to Vietnam.
Yeah. I wish we were driving to a Skinhead concert. Nothing would go wrong if we were driving to a Skinhead concert. Who were Lynyrd Skynyrd? I don't know. Be a cool name for a band, though, wouldn't it?
Mm.
I guess it would.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I wouldn't get in the planes if I was them, though.
So the brother and his girlfriend, they talk about quite early on that he doesn't want to go to Nam. And that eventually...
I don't blame him.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But at some point through this trip, he's going to admit to his brother that he doesn't want to go. Yeah.
Because his fucking... His girlfriend's, like, trying to fucking bang him.
Yeah, and he's like, I can't get off of this. I'm thinking about going to Nam.
Because she's, like, she's got him, like, tied to the bed. And she even says, like, I'm going to do things with my tongue that the Lord never intended.
Yeah, and he's like, not bothered.
That would put me off. But
what does that mean? What are you going to do to me?
You're going to put me in some sort of African phallic worship.
In the ball sack.
Tongue in the ball sack.
Actually in the ball sack.
Piercing the skin. Oh,
she's got a tongue that can go through ball sacks.
Just ball sacks?
Yeah, just ball
sacks. As you do.
That's the movie there.
like into it. Fucking hell.
Fucking hell. As we say, we never kink shame here, but we don't understand some of you people.
Texas
ball sack piercing.
We go back to the meat plant and the boss has turned the lights off. And then Thomas is there, just standing there. Is that you right? And the boss is kind of like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, go away, leave me alone. So he beats the boss to death with a hammer. It's pretty grim as well.
He's living the dream,
yes. He breaks both his fucking legs. And the guy's like, no. And then he like, because he hits the guy, doesn't he? And he falls and he knocks the table. So it traps him underneath.
Yeah, he tries to go for the phone. And it's great because he manages to get through the operator. And the operator's... the operator's on the other line, like, you're gonna have to speak more clearly, ma'am.
Yeah. and then...
I feel like a phone operator will be trained. It's like, if ever on the phone and you just hear intense screaming, just automatically assume that they're after the police.
Yeah.
Doesn't even recognise it's a dude. It's just that you're gonna have to be more clearly, just this old woman, ma'am.
This old woman that doesn't have enough money for retirement, so she has to do this job.
What's that, sonny boy?
Yeah, he finishes the boss off with, like, one quick hammer to the skull, which is pretty fucking...
Yeah, it sounds like the start to a Cannibal Corpse.
He's a goner.
And Leatherface is wearing, like, a leather mask at this point. It's not a skin mask. It's kind of like this, like...
Yeah, at this point, he just goes by face.
Jesus. But he finds the chainsaw, and then we get a fucking awesome shot where he's walking down the road... he's just strolling down the road as the sun's going down with his chainsaw.
Oh, I love it's like shot. Walking yeah, into the so sunset. It reminds me a bit of the original.
Yeah. So the group of teens, they head out. They run over some roadkill because you have to. What is it with needing a dead animal in every single one of these movies? Like, it's just roadkill after roadkill after roadkill. And it's like, I know the first one had roadkill. Do they all need roadkill? For Christ's sake.
Still not got to use my fucking wayo.
Yeah.
He's writing a letter to Fede Alvarez.
Like, wasn't allowed in the set to this one.
If that fucking raven lunatic of an art director comes in, lugging a huge whale, tell him to fuck off.
Eric starts, kind of gushing over his brother Dino going to Nam. He's like, oh, I'm well glad you're coming. And Dino's
he's like, yeah, it's going to be great, isn't it?
So excited.
Oh, no. Killing those commies and all that good stuff. I've just had flashbacks to that South Park episode with Mr. Garrison. And he has all his Nam flashbacks, but it's just like fun.
Yeah.
That's why he's excited. He's like, there's Ferris wheels, there's everything cotton candy. Yeah. It's great.
That'd be all right, though, if you turned up for that. But this is Nam. This is incredible! Just loads of Vietnamese just on a roller coaster. So then the real sheriff, he shows up at the Hewitt residence because he's looking for Thomas. He's like, that retarded nephew of yours killed a man.
I like this bit because, the artist soon to be known as Sheriff Junior. He sticks up for him. He's like, he's not retarded. He's just misunderstood.
Yeah.
Like,
it really brings out the family
aspect. Yeah. It's like one of those sorts of families where it's like, well, we can take the piss out of him.
But you're fucking not.
Yeah. We'll eat you.
Well, not yet.
That's where it gets started. I'm going to fucking eat the shit out of you. Yeah, probably. You cunt.
We just taste his blood after this, don't he? But they find Thomas. They go out and they find Thomas on the road. And they're like, obviously, you know. And he leaves Junior in his police car with a shotgun.
Pretty bad police work.
Yeah, you know? Well, I assume he just doesn't think he's going to go for him. And he goes out, confronts Thomas, and then Hoyt comes out with a shotgun and just blows it. He just headshots him. He does it in hip fire as well.
That's because he's just a badass.
Like, he literally just goes, boom, done. And it's funny because the sheriff comes over and he goes, I just killed the whole fucking sheriff department.
It's fucking brilliant.
I know. And then licks the blood.
As you do.
Even fucking Thomas is looking at him like, did you just lick that? I mean, I know I killed some people, but...
And then takes his uniform as well.
Takes his uniform in his car. And then he's just the sheriff.
Yep, that's it. He's just like, well, now.
That's it. Like, I've killed the whole sheriff's department. Now I'm the sheriff. The only thing is, though, does the sheriff not have a family? Or, like...
No.
Anybody that
he was too committed to his job.
I'm the sheriff now.
And he's the whole department. Do you think this man's got time for a family?
Jesus. Well, the sheriff goes back to the house now, and he starts looking at himself in the mirror, doesn't he, in the uniform. Because obviously he's like, this is fucking great. And
his wife's like, you look ridiculous. Yeah,
well, she comes over and she's like, you really think you are something in that uniform, don't you? And he's like, women love a man in a uniform, and then grabs his nuts. And I was like, that's from Full Metal Jacket. This is my rifle. This is, what is it?
This is my rifle. This is my gun. This is for killing, and this is for fun.
That's it, yeah.
Well, you can just come home and fuck my sister.
Hey, yeah. Have you seen Full Metal Jacket?
No.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
He's great in that. So then we have what was lacking, which we didn't actually touch upon the last episode. I forgot to mention it. But the last episode didn't have a dinner scene.
No.
No.
And we get one now.
Yeah. No crawl. No dinner scene.
I think we might get two in this.
We do. Yeah, we get one later on.
Yeah. It's like they're making up for it. But yeah. It's kind of this like weirdly epic moment for a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. Because Sheriff Hoyt, now he is the sheriff, he does this like big speech where he's essentially saying, like, you know, it's funny because he's like, it's just a matter of time now for the town's infected with the bikers and hippies. And I'm like, I'm with you there. And he's like, he basically says, you know, we'll never abandon our place of birth. They might not remember us, but they sure as shit will remember what we do. And it's like, and there's this like really cool, like epic soundtrack kind of like coming out of the background. And then he's like, we will rise above it all. And I'm like, this is the most redneck thing I think we've ever done. And it's funny because he goes, thanks to the good sheriff, we ain't going hungry tonight. And then it's like, my lord, I might have eaten people if you'd have done that speech.
I know.
To be honest. Like,
this is how cults are started. Like, Jesus. This guy's pretty motivational. I will eat that sheriff, thank you.
It's funny because the grandma refers to his original name, Charlie. Because she says, you know, she calls him Charlie. And he turns around and he's like, hey, come on, mama. Don't call me Charlie. My name's Hoyt. Charlie's dead. So, like, he has literally killed his personality.
Yeah, he's became a new person.
Yeah.
Definitely got some older mental health issues. He does.
Well, we get a shot now of him standing menacingly in the middle of the road. Like, as if just, right, first date, who are we killing? It's fucking great. Because he just, like, adjusts his belt and looks down the road. And it's like, spits some tobacco out. It's like, oh my lord, you have taken over this town like that. So the...
Just standing there like, kind of wish I knew what sheriffs actually did.
Yeah. The group of teens, they arrive at the gas station and they go in not for very long, really, do they? I think they're just going in for stuff. And they notice that there's two bikers sitting at the back of the gas station, which will come back. Eric,
because haven't they already had a bit of jip with the bikers? Weren't like a load of them like driving past their van and like hitting it and stuff?
Yeah,
and then I think that's why they're worried to go into the shop because they see all the bikes parked out there, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, so Eric's outside. He says to Dino, kind of like, oh, you know, you'd be... The thing he fucking says to him, he's like, you know, about now, he's like, oh, you'll be amazed at what you get used to.
So you're not selling... Your brother.
Yeah, you're not selling this to me very well. What do you mean? Have you done some horrible things?
Yeah, have.
To be fair, it's no. So this is where the two girls talk about... She says to Dean's girlfriend, doesn't she? She's like, there's something up with you. Like, what's going on? And she's like, right, he's not going to NAMM. And the other girl's like, fucking too right. Go for it. Like, I don't
want to. Go to Mexico.
So I think the brother's already been in NAMM, isn't he? And he's going back.
Yeah.
He's come back to get the brother and then go back to Vietnam. It's funny because a biker scares her through the window at this point, and you can hear the biker very slightly in the background go, ha ha, scared the titties off her. It's like, okay. Your day's wonderful, isn't it? These are things you brings you joy. A small victory. Eric and Dean also have a little tense moment, don't they? Because they're like, he's like, is there anything you've got to tell me?
And the girls rush out and they're like, right, we need to go now.
So then Dean does the weirdest way of telling his brother that he's not going to NAMM ever by just openly burning his draft card in the back of the car. So Eric turns around like, what's that burning? And goes, what the fuck are you doing? It's like, could you not have just pulled him aside and told him, look, I need to talk to you. Just burns his draft. And then Dean gets really aggressive about it because he's like, oh, you fucking know I'm not fucking going.
Like a headlock and everything.
What is going on? Can we chill out here? And then the biker woman shows up for some highway robbery, I assume. She's trying to pull over the van with a sawn-off shotgun. Not a van, it's, I don't know what it is, a Jeep. Eric goes into fucking NAMM mode because she shoots the back of the car, and the back of the Jeep. And she, and he like literally picks up a handgun and is just instantly about to shoot her. But they accidentally obliterate a cow. This cow like explodes.
I know.
The smashed poor, into smithereens. Cow.
Oh no. So the cow's just sitting there like, fucking hell. Not only are my brethren getting chopped up for meat, but now I'm going to get hit by a... just in
the cow's bits. Probably wondering, like, it's been really, really nice since that slaughterhouse. Nothing ever bad happened to us.
And the car is smashed. Yeah, it totals,
doesn't it? Yeah.
So Eric wakes up and the Dean's girlfriend, she's got some glass in her. She looks pretty banged up, actually, to be fair, doesn't she? And he's out looking for his girlfriend. And the biker chick's there.
She's like, oh, sweet, this made my job easier. Yeah, nothing's bad going to happen to me.
She doesn't give a fuck. She's just like, right, no, I don't care if I've had a crash. Like, get out. And Eric's girlfriend, she wakes up. She's been thrown from the Jeep. So she's kind of like a ways off.
Yeah, she's like way in the fucking fields.
Yeah. And then Hoyt shows up and he literally just gets out of his car and the biker woman's kind of
like... Well, she's like, you know, like, fucking play along or I'm going to fucking kill this copper. And she's like, oh, thank God you're...
Well, she's
with no hesitation.
I'm really glad you're here, officer. And he goes, well, I bet you are. And then shoots her. And it's just like, oh... You haven't got used to this police business yet.
He has. He's got the like, perfect...
I suppose, but it shows you how, like, different he did it in the remake. Like, he actually kind of, like,
toys like a police officer.
Whereas in this one, he's just like, bang, I'm taking you.
I feel like when they wrote the original, he was a police officer, though. I feel like they probably went back and decided, actually.
Yeah, probably. So he kind of goes up to the car and he's like, oh, you kids all right? And then instantly punches Eric. He's just like, no, I'm not.
I don't like you.
I don't actually care if you're all right, to be honest. Yeah.
Because he finds the burnt draft card, doesn't he? And he's like, well, there's no fucking fire in this wreckage, so which one of you fucking sons of bitches is burning your fucking draft card?
Well, he gets quite offended, doesn't he? And you find out later on why he would... Yeah. Get offended about this. And Eric steps up and says, like, no, it's me.
Yeah, which obviously tends to be not. His brother, yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because the sheriff's like, well, hey, Dean. And he's like, you know you're a coward, don't you? And he makes Dean put the dead biker chick in the fucking police car. He's like, you know, put that in there.
Can't see myself having to do this again.
Yeah. It's funny because before he gets in the car as well, the police light isn't working properly. So he taps it. He's like, oh, I've got... Got to be thorough.
Got to be perfect.
Professional. Yeah. He puts a handkerchief over the dead biker's face as well. So I just goes, don't look at that.
Well, you got to be respectful, ain't you?
Yeah. Well, the blonde, the Dean's girlfriend, she says, is this proper police business? And he's like, shut the fuck up. Like, as I'm doing you.
Yeah.
She questions everything. She's like, well, you haven't read his rights.
Yeah.
It'd be great if everybody looked around like, he's not a real sheriff.
Yeah. Chrissy, Eric's girlfriend, she comes out after hiding because they drive off. And she hides again because a tow truck shows up. And it is the wheelchair man who isn't in a wheelchair.
Very able body.
Yeah, he's got both legs. And he kind of searches a wreck. Chrissy tries to get the gun at this point. I think it's the gun that Eric dropped. But before she can get it, the guy gets it. She's kind of hiding inside the wreck at this point, isn't she? So he tows the wreck and she just gets dragged off to wherever he's taking it.
Hoyt takes them to Mama's house.
Yeah, but he has a little conversation with Dean because I think someone says it later on. It's like, he knows you're not Dean. He knows you're not Eric. Because, Dean, sorry. No, Eric.
No,
fucking
Dean.
Hell.
He knows you're not Dean.
No, he knows Dean's not Eric because he interrogates. He starts saying to Dean, like, oh, you know, how was your tour and everything? Where you been? And Dean's answering him, but he's using the quotes that Eric said to him. And you can tell that the sheriff is kind of like, you're fucking lying to
me.
Yeah,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think later on, I think one of the girls say to him, he knows you're not that fucking guy. Yeah. Like, he's just toying with you. But yeah, they arrive at house and he's like, is this the sheriff's station? He's like, no, it's Mama's house. And he gets out and Eric's basically saying, like, I am going to kill this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Because he's proper, like, on a blood feud in this one. Yeah, yeah. This film. And the sheriff scares them up because he kind of comes back and he's like, you kids better not be messing my car or you'll clean it up. It's like, Jesus Christ. But he calls for Thomas to come out and get them out.
To get the dead girl.
Thomas comes out and pulls out the dead girl. And the rest of them, though, I assume, because I think the next time we see them. Well, Leatherface hangs up the two lads.
Yeah.
And Hoyt and the grandma, well, the grandma, they have a argument about, because she's not really up for this, is she? She's like, people are going to be looking for these kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, it's fine. Like, he's not even that bothered. He's just like, no, it's all right. He's like, I'm the sheriff's department.
Well, if anybody comes, we'll eat them.
Yeah.
It's a foolproof plan.
Yeah. The tow truck arrives back at the house, and Chrissy's obviously, like, here now. She has this weird moment where she's trying to crawl out, and then he starts pissing next to her. It's like, lovely. So they're all kind of, like, in the same location now.
Yeah.
Hoyt tells Leatherface to chop the biker girl's corpse up, and Thomas even has, like, a double take. And the sheriff's like, meat is meat. Just fucking do it. And then Thomas is kind of like, fucking hell.
Well, I'm not sure. I don't think this is something I'm going to get used to be perfectly honest.
It's weird how quick he gets used to it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's actually all right, actually.
Hoyt goes out and, you know, he kind of like tortures the guys that are hanging up. He sprays them with a power hose. And the wheelchair man comes out at one point, and they're kind of like pleading with him. Like, you know, we're fucking
I don't get involved with his affairs.
He genuinely looks like he's like, oh my God, like we shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, I can't cross him. Like, he'll fuck me up.
Yeah.
I assume he's like a very authoritative figure in the family just through aggression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just very aggressive. He's just like, I was in the fucking army, mate. I'm going to batter you. So he's like, yeah, all right. He goes into the house, though, the wheelchair guy, and he gets himself a beer. And the other girl's tied up underneath the table.
Yeah, why are they tied her up there?
I'm guessing it's just because it's just out of hurry. They've just got her in. They don't really know what they're doing.
She'll fit there. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, just stick her there. She's not going to get away.
It's not as streamlined as it is in the future.
But when the wheelchair guy gets the beer out, he looks at the girl and giggles at her. So it's like even he's got like a little bit of fucking some sadistic stuff in him already. Hoyt goes back out to torch the guys and he starts putting cling film around.
The first time I watched this got to me. Like, this is the one bit of this film that's just stuck with me forever.
It's not nice.
No.
He completely encases Eric's face in this cling film. And basically what he's doing, he's threatening Dino with a knife. And Dean ends up admitting that he's Dean.
Yeah.
He's not Eric. And it's funny because Eric at this point is like, you see like a lot of it. Like, he's literally just like, like, and then at this point he just slumps. And then just before he's about to die, like, the sheriff comes up, he's like, my apologies. And then stabs the knife through his mouth.
And then, like, you see, like, the blood coming out.
Yeah, because he's cut his lip like, or
cut
something.
The fucking back of his mouth or something.
Yeah.
Blah. Don't like this. It's fucking horrible.
Because when Eric gets out of this cling film, he's like, I'm going to cut your fucking head off. And it's like, you probably did that in Nam, didn't you?
Like, this shit gets to me more than gory shit.
Yeah. Like, psychological torture.
Could you imagine having cling film wrapped around your head?
Yeah.
Not for me.
It's funny because Hoyt doesn't even care that he says it either, because he's like, you keep sweet talking me, my sugar dumpling. And I'm like, oh, you are a dick, aren't you? And this is where he admits to Dean that he was a POW in the Korean War.
Says he ate people.
Yes. He talks about how he was in obviously this horrible POW.
Yeah,
camp.
So you have two options, starve to death or survive.
Yeah, it's like, it got to the point where the rations were so bad that people were, it was like some poor unfortunate soul would be chosen. And then, essentially, this poor guy was chosen for the rest of them to eat. Then we get the grandma, and she's cleaning up the girl tied to the table. And she's like, you know, you want to look good for company.
It reminds me of that bit in Hostel 2.
Yeah,
We make you pretty.
Yeah, and she's singing her a lullaby as well, isn't she? She's singing like Mockingbird.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
And it's like,
about that.
I feel like this is a Evil Dead reference, though.
Yeah, it could be.
Because I swear they call someone Henrietta in this as well.
Do they?
Yeah, either this or in the first one. Right. Seems a bit too strong to just be a...
Yeah. Hoyt then pulls down Dean. And Dean's pretty fucked up at this point. I mean, Eric's fucking, like, just had cling film on the face. But Dean's been battered a little bit now. Yeah, yeah. And Hoyt basically turns around. He's like, look, tell you what. He's like, you do 10 push-ups.
It's 20, isn't it?
No, 10.
Was it 10?
Literally 10, because he beats them all the way through, doesn't he? And he's like, do me 10 push-ups, and you can walk. And he's like, yeah, all right then. And then he does like one push-up, and every single time he's taunting him, and then he hits him with this fucking back, like, over starts beating and him. Over yeah. and then over. Then starts
kicking him.
Because Eric's kind of
like...
He's
in the back like, oh, you can do it. Yeah, he's like, you've got this.
Like, just fucking, like, if you can get out this, like, you'll be allowed to go. Do you fuck? And then Hoyt's saying stuff to him like, are you going to be the motherfucker who eats? Are you going to be the motherfucker that gets eaten? And
I'm not doing my push-ups because you're not letting me go, are you? I mean, I might as well just not do the push-ups.
Well, he does. He reaches 10.
Yeah.
And then Hoyt, this is the worst part because Hoyt's like, yeah, you can go.
Yeah, I'm a man of my word.
And then just fucking stomps his spine.
Again, it's like Hostel. And he cuts the back, he's like, yeah, you're free to go.
This is more, I find this more brutal.
Oh, yeah.
The ankle thing's it's worse, horrible. But like seeing someone just go whack, like right on your fucking spot. And then he turns around and he's like, my money is he ain't going a fucking, like a fucking step or something. Like he just walks off.
Yeah, he's like, see you later.
Leaves Eric sitting there. It's like, might have paralyzed your brother. Shits in gigs. So Chrissy's gone back onto the road and she flags down the other biker who shows up. I'm assuming he's looking for his girlfriend, but he flags him down and he's kind of like, you know, I don't give a fuck. Like, why are you stopping me? Like, leave me the fuck alone. And she's like, I know where your friend is. And then he's instantly like, right, show me where we're going. Grandma's having tea with the tea lady. Weirdly enough, she's back in it. We've got a reappearance from the tea lady. And it's funny because she's exactly the same. She's like, weather's been so hot lately. It's important to drink your liquids. And it's like, this is great. Yeah, because she's like, the body needs to hydrate. It's funny, because the girl's still tied up underneath them.
Yeah.
They're just drinking tea.
And they're just having this casual conversation.
Yeah. Eric managed to get out at this point, and he goes, you know, he checks on Dean. He has to carry him away, because Dean is fucked.
He is fucked.
Chrissy's leading the bike back to the house. The tea lady is sitting there and she's like, I just can't stop eating those little chocolates. And the grandma's like, I put coconut in them. And she's like, oh, sweet Jesus. It's like, I think you're getting off on your chocolates a little bit low. And when did coconut become that good of an ingredient in chocolate? It's just like, I put coconut. Oh, sweet.
Imagine you show this woman a fucking bounty bar.
Yeah, just like... Well, she's in like, she lives out in the middle of nowhere, doesn't she? She probably didn't even get like proper chocolate. She's just like, you get wrapped fucking coconut chocolate?
By the looks of her, I think she gets plenty of chocolate.
Seems like this fucking grandma gives her chocolates. I can't stop eating them. So I stop making them.
That's what fat women
do. Like she's
fat.
Pleading, like, I can't stop.
Please stop. Please look at me. Look
I'm going to explode. It's going to be like the scene in Vermont Bad Men in a Lab.
Yeah.
Oh, the next part's what I like.
When the brick comes through the window.
No, when he...
Oh, yeah. Him. So they throw the brick through the window, and Eric comes in. And what do they do, Charlotte?
You push it. She's just still sitting at the table, just minding her own business.
I'm assuming her stomach's stopping her from getting up.
Eric literally comes in, pushes the table into the door.
Pushes the table?
And she's trapped. She's like, ah! And she's just, she can't get out.
Because she's so, she's still like how she is, oh isn't my she? God. So she's like,
and she can't, she's proper wedged between the table and the chair. It's
yeah,
hilarious.
Well, because Hoyt tries to open the door, or Leatherface tries to open the door, and he pushes her even further into it. Like, so she's blocking the door. She's in between the door and a table. Her stomach's stuck underneath the table.
If Leatherface like, can't get in, no one's got a fucking chance.
Oh, that was the best part of the film for me.
Thomas, this is when the first time they call for Thomas. Because they're like, Thomas, get up here, I need you. Eric goes back to grab Dean while the girlfriend tries to stop the tow truck. But she ends up being hooked by Leatherface. Leatherface just appears and he's got a fucking hook.
See you later.
Hoyt comes out with a shotgun. Dean's legging at this point. Because I think Eric's like, fucking go, I'll try. And Dean runs straight into a fucking bear trap. Eric runs over to him, you know, he's like, shut the fuck up, like, be quiet, like, this fucking... And then the fucking sheriff's like, I ain't done with you yet. And it's funny because...
it's a good thing you didn't join Vietnam. Yeah.
Something like this might have happened. And it's like, oh, you dick. It's like something that's just fucking happened. Might as well be in fucking Nam. Probably better off than
better
some chance
of survival.
Better off
than Nam. I'd rather face the fucking Vietnamese than cannibals.
Yeah. He also, he knocks out Eric as well. I think he just cracks him with the end of his fucking shotgun.
Yeah, he does.
Eric wakes up and Hoyt says, basically, he's like, I tell you what, he's like, I'm going to take you and you can go and play with my nephew.
Yeah, he goes, my nephew Tommy ain't no pussy. Maybe you want to play with him for a little bit.
Yeah, takes him down to the basement. Well, Leatherface takes him down to the basement.
Yeah.
Chrissy and the biker, they reach the house and he basically turns around to her and he's like, well, now I'm here. Fuck your friends. You're on your own.
Yeah,
see you later.
See you later.
He's like the dickest guy in this fucking movie. Then we get the start of, like, Eric's torture, essentially. Like, Leatherface punches Eric for some reason. It's like, oh, my mate, Jesus Christ. He, like, straps him down to this table, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And you're like,
this ain't going to be good.
Nah. Chrissy ends up finding Dean, who's still in the bear trap, and he basically turns around and says, like, leave us. You need to go and get help. Like, you can't do anything. And she's like, there's no help to go for. Which is fair enough, I suppose. She's tried once already. She's wasting enough time, I guess. So she decides to go and head for the house. She's like, I'll go and fucking try and do what I can do. Hoyt takes the girlfriend upstairs for what I assume is rape and torture. Because he ties her to his bed. And he's like, oh,
yeah.
No.
I definitely think she's raped.
She's getting fucked. Yeah.
Just what we needed.
Yeah. Leatherface nails Eric to the table. He puts, like, these metal...
braces on.
Yeah, and then nails it to the... But it doesn't look fucking... it looks painful. And he starts inspecting his... I didn't like this bit.
You know, he starts, like, feeling his face.
Yeah, like a piece of meat.
Yeah.
But he's, like,
yeah,
grabbing it and looking at it and looking at his mouth and stuff. And then feeling his face. And he's like, oh, that skin's pretty good. Actually, I've got an idea.
It's like, you're a good-looking chap, you are.
Yeah. The biker enters the house. And we also get Chrissy, who's walking toward the house, because they recreate the ass shot again.
Yep. Yeah. It's like, damn, well, what's your judgment on her ass?
It's all right. It's a modern ass. So she opens a window... Gets in the house. She kind of, like, the grandma's, like, just outside the room she gets into, but she's not seen yet. While she's sneaking about, though, she kind of makes, like, creaks and shit, and the wheelchair guy wakes up because he's like, what the fuck is that? I'm gonna go out and check. And when he goes and investigates, the biker comes out and shoots his leg.
Well, at least it's only one.
Yeah. He obviously makes him, you know, where the fuck is my biker girlfriend? Hoyt comes down. And it's funny because Hoyt comes down because he hears the wheelchair guy screaming. And he's obviously heard the gunshot. And he comes down and he's like, how many times have I told you not to play with guns? And then the biker gets Hoyt, tells him to show him where the girl is. At this point, Leatherface is peeling the skin from Eric's wrist, which is fucking grim. I think
pretty nasty.
This will kill him. Because I'm pretty sure when Chrissy finds him later on, he's like, I'm fucking cold. I think he's bleeding out.
Yeah, that's
what
he says. He's like, I can't
rips
feel anything.
Off his fucking,
yeah.
Ooh. It's bleh. But Hoyt calls for Thomas again. So he grabs his chainsaw, leaves Eric, and Chrissy finds a way down to the basement. You know, they have kind of like a little moment, and she, you know, she tries to get him out. While this is happening, Hoyt shows the biker the girlfriend that's tied to his bed, and the biker's obviously like, that's not my fucking girl. And it's funny because Hoyt turns around, he's like, shit. It's not her. You don't want to see the other bitch.
Oh, no.
And it's like, oh no. Leatherface appears and he ends up having a little scuffle with the biker. And the biker ends up landing on Leatherface's... It's not revved up. It's just the chainsaw's just sitting there. And Hoyt holds the biker over the chainsaw. And then he starts egging on Leatherface. He's like, yeah, come on, Leatherface, do it, do it. And Leatherface... pulls the fucking...
It'd be great, but like, why do you guys keep calling me Leatherface?
Yeah, yeah. He pulls the chainsaw, and because the guy's obviously sitting on it, it just cuts him in half.
Yep, yeah, it goes right
cool.
through.
It's cool,
I do
very
like that one.
Very cool, yeah.
Where he's just like on top of it. It's like, oh no, this isn't good. It's funny because Hoyt turns around, he's like, you son of a bitch, come into my house. And it's like, I mean, he's dead. You don't add insult to injury.
Well, he seems to be getting a bit worried at first when he's... like the bike has got the gun to him. He's very compliant. He's like, okay, yeah, let's
yeah.
I mean, he's still his dickish self.
I feel like
a
it's
bit
just
of...
to, you know, like give him time to say, Thomas, get up here.
Yeah.
And then Eric tells Chrissy, he's like, you know, I'm fucked. Like, look at my fucking arm. You need to go. She hides just before Leatherface comes down. And then Leatherface, who seems to have got past his fear of killing now. I think after that one upstairs, he's just like, actually, this is pretty easy.
I could make a career out of this.
Yeah, so he impales Eric. Poor Eric.
And then begins to remove his face.
Yes, it's the, well, the first face mask. It's pretty grim. You see most of it. Like him cutting the skin.
Yeah, this one doesn't hold back. This is probably the goriest one in the franchise. Yeah,
he puts thread through it as well so he can tighten it around his own face.
Yeah, like it's
pretty good.
It's quite clever.
Yeah. He thought that through. Yeah. He's been thinking about that for a while, I reckon.
Well, yeah, because you've seen him in the credits, didn't you? Put the skin over his face.
Oh, of course you
did,
yeah.
So I assume he's thought of that, and then he's seen people and went, wait a minute.
They have faces like
we skin
do.
Too. It's funny because Hoyt calls on him again and he comes up and another moment like you brought up about the family, Hoyt straight away turns around. He's got his chainsaw and Hoyt turns around. And he's like, I'm glad you brought your little buddy and I like your new face. Like straight accepts him straight away. Yep. He's just like,
there's not like, oh, what the fuck have you done now?
Because I think the rest of the family are looking at his face like, what the fuck have you been doing? And Hoyt's the only one that's kind of like, no, that's right, mate. Like, you are who you are. Chrissy has like one look at Eric's corpse and it doesn't look nice.
I'm glad that they showed us it.
Yeah, because they don't show you it at first either. They show you her reaction.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, I'm not going to see it. And it turns around and you do.
So Chrissy nearly gets out at this point. She could just walk away. She could literally just leave. She's at the front door and there's nobody there and she could just walk and she hears her mate screaming. So she makes the decision to go back in.
I mean, commendable, but stupid.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Now we get a funny scene, because the poor wheelchair man is in a fair amount of pain, rightly so.
He's been shot in the leg. Yeah. Can't get much worse, though, can it?
No. So Hoyt calls in Thomas. You know, maybe Thomas knows some... He knows stitching, so maybe he knows some way to sort the leg out.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll, you know, do a little bit, then take him to a local hospital and he'll get the treatment he needs.
Yeah. Thomas and Hoyt exchange a look. You know, we've done this before. You know, we know how to do the leg. You know, come on, I'm here. And... Hoyt leans down to the wheelchair man and he's like, you know, this ain't going to hurt.
Much.
I know. And then the grandma comes in and she's like, what the fuck is this? And he's like, surgery. And then gets Leatherface to chop his leg off.
Which he does.
Yep.
Just takes it clean off and then he starts going, oh, come on now, Thomas. That's going to look sloppy.
Yeah.
And he cuts the other one off. The perfectly good leg.
Yep. It's great because...
He says it's for balance.
Yeah, well, the grandma goes like, what did you do that for? And then Hoyt's literally like looking for an excuse because I don't think he knows why he did it. And he's just like, balance. And it's like, oh, you're a dick, aren't you? Chrissy's crawling around at this point because she has a moment where she thinks Hoyt's looking at her, but he's just looking at his reflection through the window.
Yeah.
And she finds, you know, the girl. And straight away, she turns around. She's like, what are you doing? Like, they know you're here. And then Chris is like, do they? And then Hoyt's just there. And he's like, Mama's putting on another plate. You can always stay for supper. And it's like, I'm supper, I'm fine. So Chrissy wakes up later on. And she kind of like comes to for a little bit. Because she sees the grandma and Hoyt commenting on the human dinner. Because... the grandma's looking at the stuff. She's like, oh, I don't know if we can do this and stuff like that. And he's like, yeah, it's fine, look. And then the grandma goes over and she's like, oh, well.
I wonder whose tongue this is.
Yeah. And he's like, that's that fucking Barker's. And it's like.
Lovely.
So she kind of like comes, you know, she passes out and then she wakes up again. And the grandma's cutting the other girl's hair.
And singing to her.
Yeah, again, it's like, she's going mental over it. She kind of does the whole thing. This is kind of like the dinner scene. Yeah. You know, and she says, you know, why are you doing this? And it's funny because Hoyt gets instantly offended and he's like, no talking until after I've said grace, asshole. And he genuinely does say grace.
Yep.
And he's like, you know, thanks for the...
humans.
Yeah. And he's like, well, we'll never go hungry again. And then Chrissy's like, Chrissy just like comes out and I'm like, fair play to you. Got bigger balls than I have. Because she goes...
I've got one question.
What?
No, that's what she says.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And they're like, what? And she's like, do you fuck all your cousins or just the attractive ones? And they're all like...
Just the attractive ones.
The fuck did you say to me? Like, Hoyt gets well pissed off. I mean, it's just because someone's talking back, to be honest with you. And he shows that Bailey's, which is the other girl's name, I've just remembered, her teeth, which he's knocked out.
Fuck, yeah.
Probably for some easy blowjobs, isn't it? Exactly.
Yeah, but then
when
they kill
you think
her.
About it, yeah. That's what it's for, isn't it?
Can't they bite down.
What? They kill her?
Yeah, they kill her.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, when did he knock her teeth out, Charlotte?
That's very true.
Before he fucked her mouth,
I mean,
I guess.
She's been asleep. So Chrissy's been asleep.
Oh my God.
I assume he's had a little bit of fun with old Bailey.
He deserves to be at the old Bailey.
What does that mean? What's
jail.
The old Bailey?
Jail.
Oh, it is. Yeah, he does. Yeah.
You're
for
a bit
some
slow
reason,
on
I
that
thought
one.
The old Bailey was a pub for a second there, and I was like,
it probably
why does
is.
He deserve to be in the pub?
You ever drank Bailey's from a shrew?
I've had a really hard day today, cutting up these corpses. I'm going to go for a beer at the old Bailey's. Yeah, she sees Dean's at the table as well, and he's pretty fucked, as you know, at this point. And Leatherface walks into the dinner, and then Hoyt just slices Bailey's throat. He's like, actually, I'm pretty done with you. Been there, done that.
Shitloaders.
It's funny because Grandma's like, set her free, child. And it's like, oh, well, you're out to this now, aren't you? He tells Leatherface to take her downstairs. They reckon Dean's died at this point. Because she's screaming for Dean. Chrissy's screaming for Dean. And the Grandma's like, don't you see he's passed on? Like, she's offended. She's shouting at this dead
he's
man.
Like, come on, we're competent killers. We know what we're doing. There's no way he's going to get up. It's not going to cause any trouble.
But Chrissy ends up stabbing Leatherface. I think she could just grab a knife off the table or something. She grabs
yes.
a knife from somewhere.
Yeah, no, it is. I'm pretty sure it is from the table.
Because she legs it and she gets outside and Leatherface follows
she
it.
She jumps
and...
out of a window, didn't she?
Yeah.
Ha!
Not nearly as well
yeah,
as Sally.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they never do.
No. I mean, Sally's like fucking top floor jumper. She's like, yeah. Psh.
She jumps out too, don't she?
Yeah. You ain't got shit on Sally.
But Hoyt kind of comes out and stands on the porch and he just looks at Leatherface running after Chrissy and he's like...
do
comes...
you think, cuz?
Oh, no.
I think I he's forgot like, to get one in the last one.
Yeah. He goes, comes to town when every boy becomes a man. And it's like, oh my God. In your family, this is how you become a man?
I know what, I've heard of some weird, you know, like traditions. Like you're not a man until you've had sex. Or you're not a man until you've been to war.
Yeah.
Or you've not done, been hoisted up on a chair because you're Jewish. But this?
Yeah.
That's a... Yeah.
I was thinking, hoisted up on a chair? What are you on about? But yeah, I know what you're on. The celebration.
The bar mitzvahs.
Yeah. Oh.
So it turns out Dean is still alive and he comes out and he gives Hoyt a little bit of his own medicine because he gets Hoyt from behind and he knocks him down to the ground.
Yeah.
And then repeatedly bashes his face off the porch.
And he's like saying like the same sort of shit when he was beaten when he did the...
And you like this
how
bit.
He loses his front teeth.
Yes, that's how he loses his front teeth.
Yeah. I did like that.
So Leatherface chases Chrissy through the woods, of course. You need to have woods in the film at some point. And they go back to the meat plant again. Chrissy ends up finding the dead boss, who's still there. And Leatherface stalks her through the plant. She ends up hiding in the guts pit. It's like where they throw all the fucking
guts.
Shit. Leatherface ends up getting distracted by Dean, because Dean runs in. And Chrissy stabs him again. And then Dean gets, like, probably the best kill of the film. Leatherface impales him, lifts him off the ground with, like, one hand, and then just throws him off his chainsaw. Yeah. Just
see
like, well, I don't need
but he comes
you.
In like, I'm going to save you. He gets fucking Scatman covers, he does. Yeah. Don't worry, I'm here to save the... Oh, I'm dead.
Yeah. I was like, Jesus, that was pretty cool when he lifts him off and then just flings.
I mean,
it's not even like
go,
a throw, it's just a fling. He's just like, get off my chainsaw. Whatever. Chrissy obviously fucking likes it. She finds a way out. She gets to a car, drives off, and into the sunset.
And it's, happy ending.
It's all fine.
This part.
But no, Leatherface is apparently teleported and he's in the back of the fucking car.
How did he get there?
I don't know. And then he impales...
It's because she sees, like, a police officer.
Yeah,
she's
like,
a genuine
God.
Police officer. And I think he's, like, pulling someone up.
Yeah.
He's like, this, he'll help me.
Leatherface impales her through the seat. And then she veers off and kills the copper and the guy...
Mows them right down.
Yep.
Jesus.
Just straight off their feet.
And then it's great, because Leatherface just gets out the car and then strolls back down the road. He's like, well, this is done. Don't need this.
No.
It's so cool the way he just gets out and walks off. It's like, you're ridiculous because you teleported. And then we get the narrator, which we didn't get at the beginning of the film.
Yeah, we get it at the end, twisting it around.
And he says that from 1969 to 1973, the Hewitt family murdered 33 people.
Quite a lot of people.
And then we get one fucking awesome shot of Leatherface walking down the road again into the sunset with his chainsaw. And that is the beginning.
Of the end.
Which came after what comes after this.
The beginning that comes after two tellings of the original story.
Yeah, that's the beginning.
That is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the beginning.
Yeah.
It's not bad when it's bad when you have to like breathe in between saying the title of a film.
Right.
Right, shall we stroll on into our ratings?
Yeah.
Who's going first?
Yeah, I'll go first.
You want me to go first?
No, I'll go first. Never mind. As a film, I gave it a 4 out of 5 because I did like it a lot better than the last one. I thought it was a more interesting storyline. I thought it was shot a lot better as well. It wasn't chopping and changing as much as the last one, which I liked. And it just seemed to flow a lot better. And I don't know. I just thought the characters were a lot more interesting in this one. Followed that, I know you didn't really know the characters' names until quite a lot of the end, so you probably think differently.
Were these your ends?
I know, but I'm just saying that's what I feel. And yeah, I just really enjoyed it a lot more, so that's why I'm giving it a 4 out of 5. I'm not giving it a 5 out of 5 because it's not the best film, but
yeah, I mean it's
it is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So 4 out of 5 for that. Fun factor, it's 5 out of 5.
Yeah, you like this one.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I really did. And I don't think there was anything not to enjoy about it. I wasn't looking at it like, oh, fuck's sake. There was no need for that. I think it was...
Unplanned births. Yeah. They got horrifically wrong. Babies left in bins, man.
People getting mangled left, right and centre.
Yeah, it was a wonderful movie.
Yeah. Man getting his legs chopped off.
For no reason.
Balance.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, really enjoyable.
Yeah. Okay.
So thanks for having me on for this episode, because I really enjoyed this one.
You're not welcome. I don't like you.
Well, I'm not coming back ever again, so screw you guys.
You said that time for that.
Would have rather had Daniel wherever he is.
Yeah. Still haven't had one.
No.
I wish you'd get in contact, mate. It's getting a little bit worrying. Yeah. I think maybe we should contact Australia or something soon.
Australia?
Have you seen Daniel?
Yeah.
Who? Daniel? Creepy Crap Podcast, what are you talking about? Oh, where is he?
Imagine they were like, oh, we know exactly who you're on about.
He's one of only 12 of us. Do you want to do your rating, Sick?
Yeah. As a film, it's a hard one, this. It's a difficult one, this. Okay, as a film, I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. Mostly because this is more original than the remake. So it does a lot more different things with the characters, the storyline. I know it obviously shows you what led up to the remake, but this is kind of like, this seems more like it's its own serious kind of backstory. Do you know what I mean? It's like, there's nothing silly about this one. It sounds, I don't know how else to put that. I'm not meaning the original silly, but you know, like with the Leatherface and with the characters and with the family and with, you know, like there's a lot more epicness to this in a sense, you know, like where they're building up the family.
Well, it's just like they took the original and ramped up to 11.
Exactly. So what leads up to the remake is just like fucking madness. Do you know what I mean?
Which sets up really well.
I quite like the tone of it as well, because it kind of brings across the fact that this is again the start of the family doing this kind of shit. So for it to be a bit more fucking like Jesus Christ, because it's like, you know, they eventually get fucking clinical at it, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's you know, obviously they've got the references to the original, you know. But I'll tell you what, I'll agree with you. Some of the shots in this film were fucking great. Like, there's one thing. I felt like this film was more 70s than the one that was actually set in the 70s. This is 69, so I know it's nearly. But it's like, this one, to me, generally felt more 70s. Especially some of the shots, you know, when he's with the real sheriff.
Yeah.
And they're going out and finding Thomas. But the shot from the windshield inside the car of Hoyt looking out at the sheriff approaching Thomas was fucking awesome. It's bloodier, wackier. There's a bit more comedy to this one. Well, the way you look at it, in a sense, with Hoyt, because he's fucking hilarious in this one. I quite liked it. I liked how they, you know, they were able to break away from, look, they did the remake where it was very different, but it was very similar.
Yeah.
This one, they were like, right, let's do something fun with the storyline, or let's do something different with the storyline, do you know what I mean? Yeah, 4 out of 5, just because it's better than the remake. Fun fact, 5 out of 5. It's
shock.
Yeah, of course. Ali Ermi is even better in this one.
Definitely. He's saying something.
I would say that the family are a kind of like more of a main character in this film than the teens, in a sense. Because again, this is more about the creation of the family.
Yeah, the teens are the afterthought.
Yeah.
They're just there to be killed.
Yeah.
But I'll agree with you that I did like, I liked the story of the character. I liked the Vietnam aspect, and it was kind of like, you know, it was kind of reminiscent about the fact that it was some sort of social comment in the original. In this one, you know, they've said it 69. It's like there's some social thing. It didn't go anywhere, but
It shows you really like that he started going that way during the Vietnam War, isn't it?
That's I think how that's he what it's of, supposed to be, because he's kind of like cool, calm and collected through this kind of thing.
This
isn't
is how the family started because of him, really.
Who?
Hoyt.
Yeah, but he wasn't in Nam, he was in Korea.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean?
Hoyt, you get a lot of Hoyt's backstory, which is there's not much of, but you get more than enough to figure him out as a character. And I love the character development of most of the family. It's mostly Hoyt and Leatherface. But again, I really like the Leatherface in this one. The kills are fucking cool. The kills were pretty cool in the remake, but they were more in line with the original, where it was about more that you, the more you didn't see. In this one, it's like, nah, we're going to show you this man's blown up head.
Yeah, a skinless face.
I completely agree with you as well that the pacing was a lot better in this movie.
A lot better.
Yeah, it flowed a lot better. I didn't actually really think of that until you said it.
Wasn't it the same director, though?
No.
Oh,
no.
Was it not?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it wasn't there. Yeah, I really like this movie. I really like this timeline, to be honest with you. I really like this iteration of the family from these two, because after this, we go away from these now.
Yeah, we go back to the original timeline.
Yeah, it was nice to spend more time with the same family. You know, where every other film is kind of like, I know that you've got the first one, but then the second one's kind of like a different beast. And then the third one's a different family, and then the fourth one's a different family. This one, it was really nice seeing some sort of like actual history.
It's probably the best sequel in terms of feeling connected.
Yeah.
This feels like a two-piece, whereas as much as I love Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, doesn't really feel
like it's a follow-on. No, that's exactly what I'm saying. Exactly. That's took the words right out of my mouth. I feel like these two films go together so well. I feel like you could watch them the other way around as well, and it'd be fine, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, it would work out better, probably, to be honest with you. The references, you know, like the legs getting chopped off and his teeth and everything.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, they weren't, I wouldn't say they were like amazingly done.
No.
It was still just like superficial stuff. But
I really enjoyed
cool.
that. Yeah, they linked it.
Yeah, it was cool seeing the build up of this family, and then Hoyt's character, obviously with the legs and everything, it was like it all added up. Yeah, I really like this movie.
So as a film, I'll give it a very, very strong 3.5. I think in terms of the way it's made, it's very, very, very on par with the remake. But like I said, yeah, I do think the pacing's better. I think it does some things better and then it does some things worse. Like you were saying, how the teenagers in this one aren't really that big of a deal. I mean, they're not a big deal in the first one, but there is more to them.
Yeah, but there's more about them than there is about the family. Whereas in this
exactly,
one,
it's a trade-off. Yeah. It's 90-minute film. Like, something has to suffer to...
That was
something.
One thing, sorry, just to jump in there, but it is one point that I did generally like. That's always been my main interest with these films, is the family aspect.
Yeah.
And these two films, especially this one, but these two films get that kind of family loyalty, family. You get the behind the scenes of the actual family, and you're like, these are an actual family, instead of them just being like boogeymen at the end of the road. Not saying that's what it is in the original, but they're more of that than they are of, you know, like an established family. So I did like the you know, the fact that we got two films, look at this family generation, in a sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then fun fact, it's a full-on 5 out of 5. This is... probably, I mean, I still need to revisit 3D and Leatherface, but this is probably my third favourite in the franchise.
Cool.
Got a lot of nostalgia for this one.
Yeah. This was one of the films me and you first started talking about.
Yeah.
It was after Hostel. It was Hostel and then it was this. Because you came in one day and was like, have you seen the beginning?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I watched this way, way before I'd even seen the remake.
I think you definitely saw this first, because I'm pretty sure the conversation that we had, I said, oh, did you see the remake? And you were like, no, I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
And I was like, that probably would have made it a little bit better, because this is after, but before.
Yeah, because this was one of those ones that was on like Sky Movies a lot, so I just watched it all. And then watching this was just a full-on nostalgia blast. I was like, this is brilliant. It's not the best film in the world.
No,
but it's
I'm not saying it's a good film.
No.
Like, it's not gonna stand up against actual good films. No, but I'm saying, as a horror, as a horror slasher.
Delivering what it wants to do.
Yeah, like, you know, as a gory film.
Horrors are never masterpieces, you know?
Debatable.
Well, The Thing.
All right, yeah, all
fuck
right.
Fuck yourself.
Yeah. Jaws.
Yeah. The first one.
Yeah.
Of course.
The fourth one. I'm joking.
Hereditary. I'd slip that in there.
I think Deep Blue Sea's a masterpiece.
I mean, it's a very good movie, but not for that.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, Arlie Ermey absolutely steals the show again.
It's incredible.
Like I say, it's just dialed up to 11.
It's the Arlie Ermey show, this film. Yeah. This
they,
film
they the... mean they both are for me.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, you get a load more of fucking Hoyt in this movie.
Yeah.
You get,
yeah.
like, Hoyt pretty much from the beginning to the
but
end.
The good thing about these is, as good as he is, there is more to it. It's not like The Next Generation where it's the Matthew McConaughey show.
No, the rest of the family are all right.
Yeah.
They're interesting. They're not as built upon as Hoyt or as Leatherface, but the dynamic between them is great. I really like the aspect of having... You know, in the original, it was like these three guys. One thing I really liked about these two films as well is that the aspect of how they would get away with this for so long... And, you know, they show you the vehicle graveyard in the remake and they, you know, they show you the reasons why they're hungry in this film and all this, you know, and that the trailer women that are out in the sticks and they're like, you know, there's all kind of like this setup where it's like, if you're anywhere within this vicinity, probably one of us is going to stumble upon you. I love that, like the location aspect, because like in the original, it was not completely established, like, you know, distances, because she like shows up at the gas station in like 2 seconds. Whereas this, it's like, I like the idea of seeing their whole kind of territory. It gives the clan, like, its own territory, do you know what I mean? And then once you're out on the road, you know, they get you or they don't get you.
Yeah.
But if you're in this fucking bit. It's the kids running about in the, you know, in the remake and, you know, it's... I actually think these would be great as a double feature.
Oh, like, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, like...
You should like say, either watch the beginning first, then watch
exactly. Yeah. Just watch them together. I think it'd be
3 hour long.
We did that.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie.
Me and Charlotte watched them.
Right, I think that wraps up. Unless anybody else has got anything else they want to add.
Nope.
It only
goes downhill from here. It went uphill for two films. It's going back. That's all I'm going to say.
So come back on Friday, where we will delve into Texas Chainsaw 3D. Soft reboot of the franchise that follows on, what's it, like 40 years after the original, but everybody's 20. But let's not get into that yet because I'll have a brain hemorrhage.
Yeah, I mean, the film will do that for you.
Yeah, we've got somebody else joining us for the first time in quite a while.
Yeah, Trav is coming back for two
back
movies.
From the void.
Yeah.
For you guys.
Last time
good
I saw him,
it was
the void, wasn't it? So,
I mean, hopefully Daniel's not in an actual void.
I'd like to think he's not. I'm still trying to find stuff out about that, but I'm sure something will happen. For better or worse.
But, yeah, thanks again for joining us, Charlotte.
Well, thanks again for having me. Look forward to coming back.
I mean, I live with you, so I don't look forward to you coming back.
And with that, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
See you later.
See you later.
Jesus.